cars rushing past in both directions, fast and loud, and big rattling, roaring trucks. I'd only ever seen these things before as little hissing, whizzing things off in the distance from the porch of our house, making all one sound like wind or rain. But walking on the road that day behind my father, every car and truck had its own dark color and terrible growl and roar, so fast and loud. I thought I would go deaf and blind from too much hearing and seeing. I scrambled along the side of that hard gray road forever and ever, the hard gray dirt cuffing my feet, which had never felt hurt before, having only run around in grass and dirt and swimming in muddy water, running behind my father's simple stride, his tree legs swinging away one after the other, his hat never moving, him never looking back at me or saying a word, till we got into what could only have been town. Town was a place with suddenly so many houses, one after the other, and square buildings made of all brick, like our fruit cellar, but so much bigger. The people were dressed so neat and strange, with straight trousers and shiny brown shoes. So many people, walking past each other, not looking, not knowing each other, and I couldn't notice it all for fear of losing sight of my father's heels, which suddenly turned towards a great, big, clean building of brick and windows, bigger than anything I'd ever seen in my life. I followed my father through the door, which felt like being eaten by a brick animal, except we were opening its heavy metal mouth and walking in on purpose. My father pushed my shoulder down, making me sit in a wooden chair that set against a wall, and he left me, himself going inside a door made of wooden glass. The floor that was a perfect marvel of cold straightness felt smooth and good to my bleeding bare foot bottoms. Through the wooden glass door, I could hear a woman talking, and I could hear my father's voice talking back, him only saying one word at a time, like when I'd hear him with my mother in the kitchen. After a very short time, he came back out of that door and walked past me, back outside. I scrambled to my feet to follow him out of the door, out of town, down the gray, hard, shaking monster road all the way home. "They don't have a bus that come here," I heard my father say to my mother, and so I was not to go to school. I guess I was relieved, because I'd been so shook up and shocked by the walk to town and back, which took the whole day. I was head to toe with sweat and my face sunburnt, so I stripped down to naked and got in the pond. Things went back to the way they'd always been. Me and the animals sitting in the dirt, eating when my mother had food, and otherwise living without thought or expectation. One day, as the sun got low behind our house, a car came driving down up the road, dragging a long shadow behind it. The car, which was dark blue like the coffee boiler, and made almost no sound except the crunching and pocking of rocks spitting out from under its creeping black tires, stopped. Two men got out. They were both wearing full suits of gray clothes and black shoes, and they had ropes of cloth tied snug to their necks, something I'd never seen, and looked to me like two Guernsey cows had yanked their ropes in half from where they'd been tied to a fence and had run off and got themselves a car. Except only one of those men was heavy, and he wore a black beard on his face, which was trimmed up even and neat as his gray suit coat. The other man was thin, and his chin was as naked as my mother's. These two men got out of their car and came over to the porch where I was sitting, asking if my parents were home. I pointed inside, where they went, and talked for a short while, and came out a few minutes later, got in their car, and drove away. "From the bank," my father said those men were. And the next day he slaughtered every animal on the place, except the horse and the dog. He told my mother to smoke the pork and cook the chickens, and he saddled the horse, saying he would ride it into town and sell it. "But we don't have any wood cut for the smokehouse," my mother said. But my father got on the horse and rode off like she'd said nothing. I watched from my seat in the dirt, wondering why I wasn't slaughtered or sold, as my father clopped on the horse